Here's the news in 60 seconds from HumanDailyNews.com. A father from Arizona has been seeking answers on how his son died. The child was in state custody for 2 weeks when he died. The father was arrested on drug charge when the worker from Arizona Child Welfare Agency told him his son died. The father is now blaming the state, saying the agency failed in its duty to protect his son. Maine Library in Yuma has been sharing its new activity calendar for children. All ages, including teens, are invited for storytime programs. There is no charge to attend. The city of Yuma has been announcing that neighborhood cleanup is back. The event starts at the end of this month and provides curbside removal of large, unwanted items. Look on the website of what not to put out. More than 3,000 undocumented students in Arizona have been able to get their college degree under a new scholarship by Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs. The scholarship program funds 4 years of education at one of the state's three public universities. If you have ideas for a local news story, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@humadailynews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Morning news is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Lori Arney, chair of the Chamber Board of Directors, filling in for Kimberly Kale today. I am joined in the studio by Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
I see you had my name on the notes. That was nice.
I do. And we are also joined this morning by Tim Hardy with Kids at Hope Yuma. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
You kind of have it written all over your shirt, Tim.
In case I get lost.
In case I forget who you are.
Yeah.
That's always smart.
I was thinking.
Now we get Lori to wear a name tag, you know, I'll be bulletproof.
Well, I could put one on. Okay, well, hey, good morning, Tim. Tell us a little bit about Kids at Hope Yuma.
Well, kind of in a nutshell, Kids at Hope Yuma is just a belief that all children are capable of success, no exceptions. And we communicate that belief to over 50 schools and organizations here in Yuma, and it's just amazing the difference it can make in kids when you believe in them.
Well, when was Kids at Hope Yuma formed?
So I first heard about Kids at Hope back in 2013. I heard from a gentleman named Rick Miller, and he spoke about this thing called Kids at Hope. Honestly, I thought, being with the juvenile court for over 25 years, that I knew everything there was to know about how to work with kids, but I heard something different. I heard that believing in kids was much better than trying to catch them doing something wrong, as I had in probation for many years.
Wait a minute, Tim. You even in probation and all that, you took care of those kids. I mean, you didn't give up on them.
Well, you know,
I know you better than
that. Yeah, that's the truth about Kids at Hope.
Yeah.
Although the whole idea started in the early 1990s and here in Yuma in 2014, a lot of us had that mentality many, many years. So Kids at Hope wasn't anything new. It was just kind of a recipe of putting it all together.
Yeah, before they got into trouble.
Yes. Yes. That was a hope. And then if they did, getting them turned around before they turned 18.
So this program, the Kids at Hope Yuma, in the schools, how many schools are Kids at Hope Yuma schools right now?
Well, we're proud to say that here in another week, we'll start an additional training, and we'll be at 50 schools and organizations here in Yuma County.
Tim, is that something that you're approaching, obviously, the non-public schools, the private schools also?
Yes, we're in private schools, charter schools, public schools. We're really in any school where I get a call from the principal and they say, "We're interested in what you're offering. Can you come train?"
I'm kind of confused exactly what you're offering other than you believe in kids. But how does that translate into a program?
Well, that's something that is unique. Kids at Hope is not necessarily a program, because a program has a beginning and an end. This is more a cultural framework, just that thought process of how to deal with kids and believing in kids that they can all be successful. Because we know that when an adult believes in a child, the chance of that child being successful is much greater.
How do you translate it? Translate that into to some kind of training. I mean, other than just an idea, do we have examples of how to motivate and boost self-awareness and to boost confidence?
Yeah, so that's a good question. That the training consists of three different parts. They're called universal truths. That first part is believing, and that's the one that I just spoke of. The second part is adults being able to connect with children. And the way adults connect in children is they identify positive traits that that child may have. Not only do they identify, but they let that child know, hey, I see you're really good at math, you're really good at sports. And then they have an opportunity to build on that that success. And that success may be very minor, but you'd be Russ, you've been around a long time, so I know that you believe that kids are capable of success.
Oh, my God.
You've dealt with that.
Yeah.
But when a child feels that nobody believes in them, and sometimes their parents don't, then they start to have issues. But if an adult can believe in a child and let them know.
Well, that's a result of what we call management by exception, and that we note the exceptions of the norm. More than we notice the norm being completed and the norm being worked out. We'll notice the kids that are stepping out of line, that are doing the things they shouldn't do, and then that's all we communicate to them.
That's true, exactly.
And that's a basic management understanding too, that if you just notice the things wrong, then that's going to be your only communications, mm-hmm. and that's management by exception. And generally, we need to manage those that are doing it well.
Yes,
And it sounds like basic concepts then.
But
that's
is.
A mindset that's totally different because we you and I are old enough now, so we're both old. I'm going to pick you out as old, but kids should be seen and not heard. Spare the rod, spoil the child, mm-hmm. and you have all those mindsets that could be detrimental if that's what you're focused on to actually raising a citizen,
right?
I got a dog 2 years ago, first time I ever owned one, and I had to go to discipline. I took her to discipline training. What I didn't realize was they weren't training a dog anything; they trained me. And it sounds like that's a little bit of what you're going to be doing. Yeah. You're not training kids.
That's true. And we're just kind of reemphasizing the way that kids should be dealt with and how to educate teachers and educational staff on how to see those positive things, how to get those kids to believe. Because one thing that we know is every child has a treasure. And it's very easy to find those children that have those treasures on the outside. Yeah. Those are the ones going through school that are maybe the teacher's favorite, or maybe they excel in sports, maybe they excel in academics. But don't we want every child to be recognized? I have 7 grandchildren. 5 of them do very well in school, 2 don't. Mm-hmm. But I want all 7 to have that equal opportunity. And if somebody doesn't believe in every child, we have to take that time to dig for those treasures. Those treasures on top, easy to find.
Yeah.
Those treasures that you need to dig for. So we have a motto that we say that we're never going to give up on a child, and we will not tolerate anyone who does.
So how is that received, though, by the teachers that have been teaching 20 years? I mean, no one's going to perceive themselves as being not exactly as you describe, even if they don't really incorporate it, but they're going to believe that they are. And they got 30 students, and what do you expect? I mean, I don't have time, and I got Johnny pulling Susie's hair out again, or Lori smacking somebody.
I would never do that.
I've heard stories.
But
the teacher, is getting pulled from all sections about training. Here's what you should do, and different things. How well do they embrace this program?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And to be honest, teachers that have been in the profession for many, many years, 20, 30, sometimes 30 plus, they've either established the way that they work with kids, or sometimes they're ready to retire because they can't deal with how kids are.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'll take this as a revelation and go, oh, I remember now my favorite teacher in the fifth grade, or the teacher that I didn't like in school. And once you get that process going, it helps translate into the children. But one thing that I've learned is not one time have I ever, as part of Kids at Hope, have I solicited a school to offer training. Every school that we have, the principal has contacted me and they will say, oh, I hear that Palmcroft is doing this thing called Kids at Hope. Can you tell me more? Because if the principal does not believe in that philosophy, then it's not going to translate to their school. It has worked really well. The schools that we have, there are some schools that take it a little bit further. But by the time we get through that first training, the teachers either make an appointment somewhere else and don't come to the second training, or there's more people there. And most of the time, there's more people there because it's just that reminder for a lot of teachers.
So when you do a Kids of Hope at a school, it's not a mandatory. I mean, there are some things mandatory in these schools that teachers have to attend. This would not be one of them?
Or? Well, it depends on the principal. The majority of the time, it is mandatory. However, our local school districts here in Yuma are all Kids at Hope partners.
Okay.
But they do not mandate the individual schools to become a Kids at Hope school.
Okay.
So that's and once the principal buys in, you can see that. Those are the type of principals that stand, elementary school, that stand at that gate every morning and can invite every child, welcome Timmy, welcome Lori, welcome Russ.
I've seen those guys. I've seen them.
Yeah. Those are the ones that make you feel good.
Lori, you need to take a break.
Okay, well, we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
As soon as you step outside, you can feel it, that cooler, drier air that's making its way into the Southwest, and our temperatures stay below average through the weekend. 64, that's as warm as we get today. And then at night, it's chilly near 40 tonight. Tomorrow, only slightly warmer, 65. Friday's a breezy day, 62. Saturday warms up to 64. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Experience the future of connectivity with Spectrum One. You get Spectrum Internet delivering the fastest speeds in the nation for $49.99 a month. Advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced privacy and security, free for 12 months. And a Spectrum Mobile line with unlimited talk, text, and data, plus nationwide 5G, free for 12 months. That's Spectrum One. Visit Spectrum.com or your local Spectrum store today. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Chamber Chatter. I'm Lori Arney, chair of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. This morning, Russ Clark and I are speaking with Tim Hardy from Kids at Hope Yuma. Good morning, Russ.
Yeah, it's nice talking to old retired guys, you know, just, you know, hanging around, not doing anything.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Tim, now Kids at Hope Yuma has a benefit concert coming up. Tell us a little bit about it and how the community can help to support and all that good stuff.
Okay, I'm excited to announce that we have a benefit concert to support Kids at Hope Yuma on February the 18th. The concert will be at the Colorado River State Historic Park at 201 North 4th Avenue. And this year, we'll be featuring the country band Sawyer Brown. And the Gwynn sisters will be opening up for Sawyer Brown.
That's amazing. I love the Gwynn sisters. They're amazing.
They show up to everything, Lori.
Well, I know, but
I'm seeing them everywhere.
That's awesome. And they're Yuma. They're local.
They've even spent time in Nashville, I think.
I think they have.
Flying back to Yuma to come to some of these events.
I can tell you the last two concerts I've been to that benefit the Kids at Hope. Back in 2019, they had the most amazing Journey tribute band. And, I mean, it was literally, that band was probably just as good, if not better, than the real Journey. And I'm a huge Journey fan.
I didn't even know Journey was good to begin with.
Oh, Journey's amazing. I've seen them 22 times. I love them.
But
it was an amazing concert, and we had such a great time. And then in, 2021 was the last concert. And they had the... it was AC/DC tribute band, and they were amazing as well. That was so fun. So I enjoy going to these, and we've sponsored. This is our second year actually sponsoring. Yuma Insurance is sponsoring. So tell us about the sponsorships.
Well, it's interesting when you plan a concert like this. As you can imagine, the cost is quite high. And since Kids at Hope is a nonprofit, and we provide training to all of our schools at no cost.
All right.
So we need to do something to raise funds in the community. And we reach out to, I was born and raised here in Yuma, so started reaching out to a lot of friends in the agricultural community, business friends, like Lori with Yuma Insurance, and just explain what we're doing and why we're doing it. The amount of support that we receive year after year is simply amazing. Now it's, okay, Tim, what do you need this year? And basically what we need is those needs are met. And you don't find that in a lot of communities. When I tell friends from throughout the United States what we're doing here in Yuma with benefit concerts, benefit golf tournaments, they go, that's not possible. Well, those benefits that we have sustain Kids at Hope Yuma. That's all we do. And the community is so, so supportive. It's just unbelievable.
That's good to know. Now, what do you have a website or something for all
yes.
this? Is that where you get tickets?
Yes. In fact, tickets are available on our website at kidsathopeyuma.org. They're also available here in Yuma. If people are a little bit afraid of going on the internet and buying something, you can buy them locally at the Yuma Visitor Center and at the Yuma Garden Cafe.
Okay. Downtown. They give you a good yes. reason to go out to a nice lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Great.
Launch
it
there, pick up a ticket.
Have a breakfast, lunch, and meet with Debbie, and it's start off a great day in the downtown area.
Assuming I could even get a date for February 18th, what would the cost be?
So, Russ, if you wanted to go by yourself, it's going to be $35 for an individual ticket.
Right.
But if you have a family up to five, that ticket price is $100.
Oh, really? You do have a family deal?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about bringing one date. I didn't think four that would be a spectacle.
Now, Tim, in the past, you've had vendors there selling food and drinks, and I know we need to bring our own chairs.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Hey, so the venue is an outdoor venue. And it's what we would call festival seating, which means bring your own chairs. Most people bring their own lawn chairs and that. We also have vendors. Vendors are providing anything from coffee to tacos to chicken. So we actually have a couple vendor spots left. If someone was interested, they could contact me at 928-210-4000, or they could send an email to kidsathopeyuma@gmail.com.
Okay, and how? So you do have two spots left now. What kind of vendors do you have already set up?
So right now we have taco vendors. We have a coffee vendor. We have a barbecue chicken vendor.
Oh, nice.
And some of our major restaurants, Chili Pepper, will have a booth. That seems to be a favorite. But we have various food. One thing that we would really be looking for, and I have not been able to locate, is a crowd favorite, which is kettle corn.
I would think they'd be easy to get.
You know, and the ones I've talked to are just have other obligations that weekend.
Oh, really?
Right. So if anybody out there has a kettle corn vendor, we would be happy to have you come. And the great thing about becoming a vendor is vendors keep 100% of their profits. There is a vendor fee, but anything that they make at the concert, they get to keep.
Historically, how many people you normally have at these? And I know because of COVID, it got kind of dang.
Yeah, and our first concert was in 2018. We had about 1,700 people.
Oh, my gosh. That's not a small event.
Yeah. The following year, it was about the same. The third year, because of COVID, even though COVID was over, a lot of people were afraid. And it was also a time of year which we found was the busiest, October, November.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many events and lots of competition. So that dropped to probably about 800.
Okay.
I tell you, this year that with online ticket sales, we're expecting 2,000 to 2,500.
That's amazing.
See, that's a pushback against COVID. We're getting back out.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're going to go do something because this lockdown was a disaster for families, for kids, for everybody.
For everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you didn't do Kids of Hope through the internet, did you?
No. We tried the training. We did about three training, but it just wasn't as effective.
Neither was training kids as effective, they're finding. And we probably put ourselves a little bit behind.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we'll get caught up. Do I notice banners out in front of schools once they become Kids of Hope?
Yes.
You know?
Thanks for asking, Russ. One of the things that we provide schools is, I mentioned we provide training at no cost.
Yeah.
Because we know that schools have limited budgets.
Yeah.
Not only do we provide training, we provide scholarships for kids. We provide scholarships for adults to attend training. But we also provide signage. And if a Kids at Hope school wants to put up a Kids at Hope sign, we'll try to find the funds within a Kids at Hope Yuma to provide the cost for that sign.
Yeah, my granddaughter goes to kindergarten at the Yuma Christian Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go there, there's like a huge banner. I mean, it's right out on the road. Mm-hmm. You can't help but see it. And I said, well, that's a great thing to put right out front,
right?
You know, kind of a stamp of you know, we care about kids. That
yeah.
We're taking some training to make sure that no one's overlooked.
Yeah, Yuma Christian is one of our newer partners. They became a partner this last August.
It looked like a new sign.
It is. It's brand new. We just provided it probably a month ago at the most.
Right.
So yeah, they're going to be a very involved school.
Oh, and that's good.
Yes.
You know, we talked off air a little bit. You know, you talk about, did you do training, by the way? Do you train?
Yes, I do. Now that I'm retired and I have the time, my girlfriend and I go out and do the training.
But you're not new to handling kids.
No. okay. I actually was a police officer here back in the dark ages, the late 70s and early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1991, I decided I wanted to work more with kids. I became a juvenile probation officer here in Yuma and was lucky enough to move up in the ranks. And I was the juvenile court director for the last 27 years and just retired just last year.
And you've had great, and you and I have sat down and talked about it, you've had great success stories of kids that had taken a wrong path,
yeah,
and have been able to straighten things out and become productive, giving citizens to this community.
We really have, and personally, I've had several that have made that turnaround. Unfortunately, not all of them. No. And that's what I hoped for when I got into probation, but you learn very quickly that a child has to want to do better, We can't not do everything for them, but the success stories that I have are just amazing. And that is what the definition of a kid at hope is.
You know, you mentioned that the kid has to want it, and I know teachers, particularly those that have been teaching for a long time and doing it, I'm sure part of, you know, their busy schedule and all that, and they're going to recognize they're not going to get through to a kid, and they can't spend all their time continuing that attempt, at least in their minds at the time, and I'm sure that is an obstacle.
That is, and that's something that is very special about Kids at Hope. We realize that one adult cannot reach every child,
right.
and even a teacher may not be able to reach every child in their class. However, there is a teacher at that school who can establish that relationship. We just need to reach out and work as a team.
They may be able to find the right connection.
Yes.
I didn't think about that, but... That's tough for, I mean, it's a teacher's room, and I mean, teachers are territorial, are they not?
Teachers are very territorial, and as a parent, now a grandparent, I'm proud of that, because that teacher then takes ownership of those children.
It's not a negative, yeah.
But your excellent educators, which there are so many here in Yuma, aren't afraid to reach out. Maybe that's reaching out to the principal and saying, I noticed little Timmy needs something. I'm not finding it. And so maybe they'll use a counselor. Maybe they'll find it.
Is that part of your training?
Yes. Yes,
it is.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, I bet they're receptive to that.
Yeah.
That probably does turn on some lights.
Yes, I believe so.
Speaking of turn on lights, Laura, you need to take a break. Wake you up.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back after this break. You're
Bill
listening
Alexander
to Chamber
Ford
Chatter
wants to be your best choice for 2023.
KDLU.
During our carryover sales event, you can take advantage of our remaining 2022 inventory of F-Series trucks and world-class SUVs like Expedition, Explorer, Edge, Escape, and EcoSport with offers as low as 0.9% for up to 66 months on FlexBuy. Only off-road in an exciting Bronco or Bronco Sport, Mustang GT, and convertible could really make your new year exciting. Our remaining 2022 inventory has reduced in price to move quickly. Visit online at BillAlexanderFord.com today. Difference you can count on.
ADOT's I-10 Broadway Curve Improvement Project is in the works. It's an 11-mile stretch of Interstate 10 between Loop 202 and I-17. When complete, your travel time through the area will be reduced. Access to Sky Harbor, retail centers, and colleges will be improved. And the region will be able to better support a growing economy and more. Keep up with the project and traffic updates at i10broadwaycurve.com. And stay ahead of the curve. This message is sponsored by the Arizona Department of Transportation.
Welcome back to Chamber Chatter. I'm Lori Arney, Chair of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. Before we get back to this morning's guest, I do have a few chamber announcements. We'd like to remind everybody that we do have a chamber mixer coming up next Wednesday, January 25th. Our next chamber mixer is being hosted by the City of San Luis, and it will be at La Macarita, I hope I say that right, in San Luis on January 25th. Tickets are $10, and you can pre-register because space is limited, so it's probably best to pre-register. But we'd love to have you join us. Mixers are a great way to get to know your fellow chamber members, and it's a lot of fun, good networking. And then we have our next event, which is the annual dinner. Russ, are you excited about the annual dinner February 3rd?
I'm going to be there.
It's going to be a blast. It's at the Four Points by Sheraton. So it's not, last year it was at AWC. This year it is not. It is going to be at Four Points by Sheraton.
Which is a beautiful room.
Oh, it's a beautiful room. Wow. Yes, absolutely. So we're excited to have it there. And we will have that chance auction where Russ goes around and...
It's actually fun.
Kind of calls out numbers, and if he calls your number and
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And you get to win a prize.
Hopefully.
Well, we're also going to have silent auction items as well as a balloon pop.
Which is an addition to...
It is an addition to last year, yeah.
It's just more work for me, Tim. That's what they're doing. It's loading up.
But it's going to be a fun night, and it is February 3rd, and it's our annual dinner, and we do have tables still available, sponsorships still available. And we would like to thank Achieve Human Services for being our diamond sponsor. And if you are interested in going, please get a table or find someone who has a table. There are tickets available on the Chamber website. So for any information that you need regarding our mixers, regarding our annual dinner or upcoming Good Morning Yuma breakfast, please go to the Chamber website and you can find all that information on the events tab. Let's see. I think I'm a little done with our announcements. So
can we slap Tim Harding around again?
You know? No, I don't want to slap him around, but I would like to say, you know, let's get back to our guest, Tim Hardy, and of the Kids at Hope Yuma, and who has joined Russ Clark and myself in the studio today. So Tim, I know we talked about the concert, and I mean, what else can we do to help you spread the word?
Well, I think what's great to say is with a community of Yuma being so supportive, the more people that we have at the concert, the more kids are going to actually benefit. And so what we'd like to is spread the word. Sawyer Brown has been a band that started in the 80s, and they won a show called Star Search.
I remember that.
Very interesting is that they're still very, very popular to this day. I follow them on Facebook, and they literally do 4 or 5 concerts a week.
Oh, good Lord.
And they're anywhere from the East Coast to Canada to the Southwest. And, you know, to have a band of that nature come to Yuma is just amazing. So if you want to hear some great country music, and keep in mind, this is a family event, so it's going to be great for kids. Our gates on February 18th will open up at 5, and we hope to be off the premises probably by 10 or so, just to get out of there and to have a good evening. So if you're interested, you could purchase tickets at KidsAtHopeYuma.org, or you can purchase tickets here in Yuma at the Garden Cafe or the Yuma Visitor Center.
Tim, how many volunteers you have with Kids at Hope?
That's a really interesting question. When we first started Kids at Hope here in Yuma, I heard about it in 2013, and we had a training at City Hall in May of 2014. We didn't know who to invite, what to expect. So we just reached out and invited 165 of who we thought were kind of the people in Yuma who dealt with children. And we invited from principals, teachers, to police chiefs, to sheriffs. And amazingly, 150 people showed up to that first training.
Wow.
And we decided we have something going here in Yuma. Yuma cares about its kids. And so then we established a committee. The first committee, we had 13 people, and 8 of them were from the juvenile court where I worked. That was a good start, but I thought, is this just going to be about the juvenile court or about the community? We continued our meetings, and prior to COVID, we had 145 volunteers who on a regular basis, attended our monthly meetings. And so we continually grow. Speaking of volunteers, we need some volunteers to help at the concert on February 18th. And if you're interested, you can contact me at 928-210-4000. And we're kind of trying to keep the volunteer to where maybe they volunteer for 1 or 2 hours. So they get to enjoy the concert too. So becoming a volunteer at the concert will get you admission to the concert, but it also will help us to give back to the community, because we need those ticket takers. We need those people helping in the parking lot. We need them at the beverage garden. We need that help. We just don't have, my family's not big enough to do that. And although they're all there helping, but that's only about 50, we need to build that up to even more.
So the volunteers, do they do the training tour? How many trainers?
So we actually have 35 trainers that have gone through training here in Yuma. Several schools, once I do the introductory training, will then, their principal will go to a training. So they can continue that training. So really, Kids at Hope is about spreading that word. And it doesn't matter if Tim Hardy does that training or if somebody else does a training, it's getting that message across.
You know, once they become a Kids at Hope school and they're working on that training, what do you consider a success? How do you get feedback? How do you know that the programs are doing what you've outlined?
So the things that we look at is, number one, the success rate in those schools. We've seen success rate as far as kids being promoted to the next grade, because unfortunately sometimes they don't.
Right.
But even through the high school level, we've seen an increase of over 45% once they implement Kids at Hope. And we do have different matrix to where we can check to see if Kids at Hope is actually working in the school. We talk about this term called treasure hunters, and a treasure hunter is just that adult who believes in all children are capable of success. But that's easy to say that, but does the child believe that you as an adult believe in that?
There's the key.
So we ask hard questions, not to the adult, but to the child.
Oh.
Do you believe Mr. Hardy is that person that believes in you? Kids are honest. They'll say, he does, or no, he doesn't. Yeah. We measure it like that.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
And the participants know you're going to do that. They know there's going to be a check of those things from the student. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you've heard stories there, too.
Yeah, we have heard stories. We hear stories of success.
Okay.
The stories of success that I had working at the juvenile court are amazing to me and amazing to that child. But those same kind of stories go on at every school and organization here in Yuma. And those are the ones that we want to let people know and shine.
You know, you mentioned that the teacher themselves or just one person is not the only contact that kid's going to have throughout the day. And maybe the teacher believes, can it really have an effect if they go home to a house of disbelief and a house of you know, that's probably not healthy?
Yeah, and that's very interesting. And that is one reason why we involve parents. We have parent training. And
you
it's
do.
Not to tell parents on how to parent their child. Parents take offense to that, no matter if they're a great parent or not.
You mean your kids have taken offense to how to raise their grandkids?
Oh, just a little bit. They don't like grandpa coming
I'm
in.
I'm going to interview them.
But I think that just having that child know who believes in them and the super thing with Kids at Hope, it's just not for teachers and educators. It's for the custodian. Because sometimes that custodian may have a relationship just by saying, good morning.
Yeah.
Maybe nobody else said good morning. The bus driver.
Yeah.
The clerical staff in the office. The school nurse. The school counselor. Anybody can be that treasure hunter.
Do we ever call it mentorship?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're synonymous. And that word, treasure hunter, mentorship, go hand in hand.
Yeah, I would not have seen the things in life that I was able to without mentorship that was outside the family. And it did come, you know, outside the family, where it was amazing to me to find somebody that did believe in me. Mm-hmm. I kind of blew it off at first. But it was a gentleman I worked for, Superior Court Judge William G. Bush III. But he was the first one that really sat down with me and would beat his fist on the table at lunchtime, because he'd take me to lunch. I mean, we'd work, and he'd take me to lunch, and he'd say, you know, you're smart, you need to go to college, you know, you've got ability. And he would always be quizzing me with math and sciences and stuff. And I guess he took the time to understand, because I was very quiet, believe it or not. He took the time to understand. And it was that, and it didn't take effect right away, Tim. It didn't. It took years. And I called him up after I was at a high school working for a year or so. And I said, Judge, I want to go to college. And nobody was more thrilled. And he was a mentor, not a parent, but a mentor. But I would have never started on the path of opening my eyes to see opportunities if he hadn't pointed out that I was worthy of receiving them.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think one thing I'd ask the listeners is to think back. And if you take a few minutes, you can think back of a person in your life who was that Judge Bush for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For me, it was my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Endicott, at Alice Byrne School. Why do I remember Mrs. Endicott? All the teachers that I had. And I remember it was back in the days when we actually read out of books and we read out loud in class.
Uh-oh.
And I liked to read, but I wasn't very good at it. But I wouldn't admit that. I thought I was good, but I would hear the other students kind of, ha ha, Tim's going to read. One day, Mrs. Endicott held me after class, and I thought I was going to be in trouble because I probably acted out or something.
It's normally the only thing a teacher would take time for.
That's right. Yeah. And Mrs. Endicott said, Tim, I notice you like to read, but I want to help you. She didn't say, Tim, you read poorly. She said, Tim, I want to help you to improve on your reading. So for the next 5 days, because it was on a Monday, I want you to stay after school starting tomorrow, and we're going to work on your reading.
Wow.
She believed in me.
Yeah.
She was that treasure hunter. Mm-hmm. But this was in the 1960s. There was no Kids at Hope.
Yeah.
So treasure hunters have been around, caring adults, mentors. That's what it's about.
And that's why we have success today from anybody is somebody along the pathway, and you know, generally parents. It doesn't have to be a parent. It could come from any source.
Right. For me, it was my grandmother. My grandmother was my mentor. She was my treasure hunter. And if it wasn't for her, she was the one person in my life that always believed in me, and I never wanted to let her down. So you're right. There's always somebody.
Yeah. And fortunately, I've had a number. And if we open our eyes, I mean, to this day, I have people that helped mentor me on this show and opening my eyes to things I wouldn't have known, that will pay attention, call me and let me know, you know, I needed to add to my information because I may have been on the wrong pathway and stuff. But that's all mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues on if I guess it's up to the person to accept it.
That's true. I mean, I still have, Jack Puckett, I mean, he's my mentor now.
God bless you.
You know, love Jack, but he is my mentor. And I'm thankful and grateful for all the mentors I have in my life.
Yeah.
Even at this age.
Yeah. If he's got you on the right track, Lori, you know, nice deal. Nice deal. But you tell those stories when you're training?
Yes. I share those stories and every one of us, we in the training, we do a breakout and we'll get in groups and discuss these things. And people, you can see it brings a smile to their face. I remember my coach, my teacher. It might be your parent, your uncle, your aunt. Maybe it's an older brother or sister, but it's that person who believed in you.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine as a teacher, it's most fun to mentor the ones that are obviously have their treasures on their chest, you know, to help them propel, help them move along, to be part of their journey, knowing that this kid's headed for success. I'd like to be part of that and add to that. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's an easy one.
That
the other ones are harder.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to be that one that can?
I'm lazy, Tim.
Digging for that, digging for that treasure, spending that time, and helping that child become successful. I know you've done it with many, many people.
Yeah. Well, and I've gone to the, you know, and you mentioned about teachers and their, you know, and they're obviously very guarded about their class and all that kind of stuff. We had a teacher my son had in high school here, and during academic decathlon, you know, there was 10 different subjects to teach. Now, most athletic decathlon teachers taught all those subjects, but not Diane. Diane calls me and says, Russ, I know you're a speech instructor. Could you come do the speech part? And was able to relinquish that part to bring in, you know, new ideas, new perspectives, or new, you know, talents or whatever to help propel the kids. I mean, the focus was the kids. And I didn't see a lot of teachers doing that, but Diane did. And I admired it because she didn't worry about my kids my way, and I'm a teacher, so of course I can handle it all. And she didn't mind doing all those kind of things. So, you know, and that's what I thought of when I knew teachers were very protective of their territory. And she opened it up. And she had others that came in to help out with some of the 10 that she didn't feel as qualified to do. And that's big for a teacher, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was helpful. And they won a lot of awards. I mean, the kids got a lot more attention, obviously, because they had more people joining in. Right. On the battle. Well, you need to take a break, Lori. In fact, you've let me go past time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I thought you were supposed to tell me when it's time to take a break.
You're kind of in control, too. I'm blaming you anyway.
Okay, well, we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Listen to KBLU from 8 to 9 every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Learn how you can plan your estate using a will or trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. on 560 KBLU.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up Your Pickup Truck Store is Yuma's home for Snugtop shells and lids. Snugtop, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snugtop. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray and bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray and bedliners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bedliners and Snugtop shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road trucks and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bedliners, and Snugtop shells and lids at Truckmates, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Welcome back to Chamber Chatter. I'm Lori Arney, chair of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors.
Are you sure?
What's that?
Do you have a business card that says that?
I don't. Not yet.
I'm questioning it.
No, I... Well, this morning, Russ Clark and I are speaking with Tim Hardy with the Kids at Hope Yuma. And so, Tim, let's, I guess we should go over again just about the benefit concert, what we can do to sell more tickets and get more sponsorships. So if you want to go ahead and talk about that again. And
on February the 18th here in just about a month.
Yeah.
Get closer to that mic if you could.
Kids at Hope Yuma will be having a benefit concert. We'll be featuring the country group Sawyer Brown, and the Gwynn Sisters will be opening up. I've seen the Gwynn Sisters grow up here in Yuma, and they are simply amazing. Now it's hard to get them. We have to share time with Nashville. I always thought that the Gwynn Sisters were Yuma famous, but now they're really famous, and we're looking forward to that. The concert will be at the Colorado River State Historic Park, 201 North 4th Avenue. The gates will open up at 5, and the tickets, individual tickets, are $35. We also have a family pack for up to 5 for $100. Tickets can be purchased online by going to our website, kidsathopeyuma.org, or you can purchase them here locally at the Yuma Visitor Center or at the Garden Cafe. In reference, if a business out there would like to sponsor Kids at Hope, we have sponsor packages with Yuma Insurance. They're a major sponsor of ours, and that's very much appreciated. And so many businesses sponsor, but we can always use more. One thing that I will tell you is 100% of the funds raised for a concert stay right here in Yuma. We have no overhead costs. We have no paid employees. All of us are just volunteers. Speaking of volunteers, we can use some more volunteers during the day of the concert. If you'd like to just volunteer about an hour or two of your time, that will include admission to the concert, and it will be helping us to give back to our community. If you are a local vendor and you have a vendor wagon and you have something special to sell, you can contact me at 928-210-4000. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. So I just encourage the community to come out, support our kids, and enjoy a great day and a family fun concert.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Now, one thing... parking is, I know that parking lot down closest to the concert, it always gets packed really quickly. Where is there going to be additional parking?
So we've changed things just a little bit this year. All of our VIP sponsors will have special parking in the main parking lot of the museum, which is off of 4th Avenue on the west side of the park. There will be parking there. We've also have the parking lot that is on First Street. We'll open up a lower parking lot there. So we have parking available there. And then, unfortunately, downtown, there's not a lot of parking, so there's street parking that is also available.
Okay. Sounds great. And, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this. I know it's going to be a fun night. I've been... the last few times, and I've really enjoyed it, and I know a lot of people that go with me have enjoyed it as well. So it really will be a fun night. So I really would encourage you, if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, please get your tickets, because it's really going to be an amazing concert.
Tim, on the Hope, the Kids of Hope. How much time do you actually spend with the parents? Is there any, or is there a need for that, or is that something that is not welcomed?
No, that's very important, because as you mentioned earlier, if a child is learning about Kids at Hope and what a treasure hunter is and believing, the parents need to believe in that too. So what we've seen our schools do is during a parents' night, maybe they'll invite myself or one of the other trainers to talk to the parents about what Kids at Hope is, just to communicate that with them. We also have training open to the public for all parents, and we communicate that. And if we can get a group of 10 or more parents, I'll go provide a free training for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure parenting is not an easy job. I don't know if you've ever been through that. Or just your wife. I don't know.
Well, I have been through that, although my wife probably took the lead on that.
Well, it doesn't matter. I always take credit, even if I was 10%. It doesn't matter. But it's not an easy job. It doesn't come with a rule book. And we generally mirror what we know or grew up with, which may be lacking.
Yeah. And we know, as parents, we need to be involved with our child. Take that time. Sit down. Wouldn't it be great to have that old-fashioned dinner? Sometimes we just don't have time to do that.
Does anybody do that?
No.
I do every Sunday. I have dinner with my son. Yes, we have Sunday dinner every Sunday. And my son's 29 years old, but every Sunday we get together and have dinner.
Man, you trained him right.
Yeah. I think that's so important.
My parents used to do that. It was terrible, because it was to no avail. But I think that needs some training too. Like, why are we meeting? What are we doing? And what do we want to accomplish versus everybody that sets up the same table, it's going to automatically be a connection.
There's actually one of the parts of Kids at Hope is it's called the Ace of Hearts. It's that parent that maybe not physically there 24 hours a day, but they're there in spirit and asking their child every day, what are you going to do at school? How was school? Just getting involved can help.
The judge passed many years ago, but he's still there. And,
yes.
And I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody has that kind of dedication and belief, it's not easily forgotten or passed aside, pushed aside. It becomes part of my success because he counts on it. Mm-hmm. Damn it. You know, you got about half a minute.
Half a minute.
I'm cutting
okay.
You off.
Well, I really like to thank Tim for coming in and talking about Kids at Hope Yuma, and I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.